You can take your Bible, please, and turn to 1 John chapter 2. I've got a pretty neat announcement to share with you all this morning. From the beginning of December 2012, just right before Christmas, until the end of last month, January, teachings were downloaded from our Grace Ministry website 8,000 times. Isn't that amazing? Free and without charge, 8,000 times. I wish I knew what teachings were downloaded. I don't have that information. I know just the number of files, the number of pages downloaded. But that's just remarkable to me that 8,000 times the teachings have been downloaded. I'm also on another website besides the Grace Ministry website. I'm also often featured on God Stream, run by my friend Cal Bauer. And he has maybe 2,000 to 3,000 listeners a month. And he just sent me a statistic stating that almost half of those people are from China. Wow. So think about that. The Word of God is getting into communist China. I wish I knew what God was doing with His Word in all these places, but it's amazing. Well, there are times in our lives when we stop and think about our lives. One occasion is around New Year's Eve. Then there's also birthdays and weddings and anniversaries and perhaps even funerals. But there are times when we pause and think about the meaning and purpose of life. We think about ourselves and what we have or have not accomplished. We do this because we want our lives to matter. We want to make a difference in the world. Well, the Bible's very concerned about this as well. And it declares that our lives take on great meaning and purpose when we are in a right relationship to God. In the Old Testament, God said to His people, "For I know the thoughts that I have toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Just think about that, a future full of hope. How many people think about tomorrow with a sense of despair? And yet God's people have a future full of hope. And then in the New Testament, as Christians, we're told that we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He has ordained for us to do. There's something that only you can do for somebody that God has ordained, and He says that work will be a good work. When men and women take God at His word, their lives change. And when their lives change, they change the world around them. Names like Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, and David, those are heroic names. Those people changed the world because their lives changed according to the Scriptures. Then there are the names of two common people, Ruth and Boaz. They were people who loved God and obeyed His word, and they changed the world simply by being kind and loyal and falling in love and having a baby from whose family line was born the Lord Jesus Christ. And then tucked back into the end of the New Testament is an almost unknown name of Philemon. Philemon brought joy and comfort to the Apostle Paul because Philemon did whatever he could to refresh and encourage other believers. Simple as that. Now, the Apostle John was concerned about helping people too, and he wants Christians to have their lives count, to matter, to make a difference. And he said it begins by knowing the truth about the word of life, and it builds by having fellowship with God and Jesus Christ and with other believers. And a life that makes a difference is sustained, he says, as we walk in the light, as God is in the light. When we practice living the truth, we make a difference. Now, here, as we begin chapter 2, John's going to show us how we can know if our lives will make a difference. He's going to tell us how we can know if we really know God. Verse 1. "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." How tender that is. "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." It's a very tender appeal. so that we don't fall from the Word of God and sin. Now remember the apostles building off the foundation of verse 5, where it says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And so the simple logic is that if God is holy, you and I are to be holy as well. We're to do our best not to sin. We're to strive to live righteously. And we have this truth declared not just in John, but all through the Bible. Psalm 119 in verse 9 asks this question: how can a young man or a young woman cleanse his way? And the answer is by taking heed according to your word. And then in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus Christ said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all that we need will be given to us. Seek first the kingdom of God. Let God's kingdom and his righteousness be the focus point of your life. Let it be your priority. Can you say that? Can you say honestly that the kingdom of God and his righteousness is my number one priority? I wake up in the morning and I say, good morning, Father, how are you? Let this day be a wonderful day. I'm going to pray for my beloved friends and family. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all that you need, God will begin to provide for us. And in Colossians, we're told, put off anger, wrath, malice. Do not lie to one another, but rather put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, and especially love. The Bible throughout tells us what John says so simply, my little children, do not sin. We're to put on that new nature that God has given us when we're saved. You see, the Christian life is an active pursuit of righteousness. Some Christians think, well, I'm saved, I'm righteous, I'm justified. And then they don't do anything else. But we're to grow and strive in maturity, especially in love. Love, it says, is the fulfilling of the what? The law, sure. If you love somebody, you're not going to do them any harm. We're to allow our lives to be transformed by hearing the word of God. Romans chapter 12. Keep your ribbon in 1 John, but Romans chapter 12. Great section of scripture. Again, notice the tender appeal. John says, my little children, I don't want you to sin. And Paul in Romans 12 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. You know, I don't think any one of us really wants to be conformed to this world. We know what the world's like. Sometimes you come home and you say, oh man, I just can't take it out there anymore. It's a crazy place. But we don't actively pursue to be different. And so the next part of the verse says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove in experience what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As Christians, we're not to be fashioned like unbelievers. We're not to walk or have a lifestyle as if we were in the dark about what God's will is. This means we need to think about what we're thinking about. We need to think about what we're listening to, what we're watching, what we're reading. You see, we sin when our lives are governed by worldly desires or worldly fears or worldly values rather than by divine truth. This is the very essence of the problem with our society. People are just not interested in God's truth. People are driven by desire, fear, impulses, passion, not by principle or truth. And so a spirit of lawlessness governs our world. Just think about the crazy things people do. Governments pass this law and it causes this problem. And then instead of getting to the root of the issue, they pass another law that causes another problem. And they try to control men's hearts by laws and it never works. There's a spirit of lawlessness that pervades. But you and I are to walk in the light as God is in the light. We're to practice living righteously. Our hearts are supposed to be full of faith and love and hope. And when it is, when our hearts, when they are, not when it is, when they are, when our hearts are filled with faith and love and hope, we make a difference in the world. Look at Philippians chapter 4. It's interesting when you think about what John tells us and you begin to think about what he's really saying in a simple sentence like, "My little children, do not sin," you begin to realize how many other places in the Bible relate to that particular phrase. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do." And now look at the last phrase. "And the God of peace will be with you." When we're careful about what we feed our mind, when we practice living in the truth, then the peace of God will be with us wherever we go. The God of peace with you. Think about going to work with the God of peace with you. Think about going to school with the God of peace with you. Think about having your mind and heart saturated with Scripture and then going to your spouse, your fiancé, your friends, and the God of peace is with you. Do you think you'll make a difference in the world? You think you make it have an impact? Of course you will. Back to 1 John chapter 2. Okay. But what if in a moment of weakness, we fail to heed John and we sin? We make a mistake. Well, that's covered in Scripture as well. Verse 1, John says, "My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." If in a moment of weakness we sin, we have an advocate or a defense attorney to plead our case. The Lord Jesus Christ turns to God Almighty and he says, "I know that knucklehead Chuck did it again. But I gave my life for him, and he really is endeavoring to be his best. My blood covers his sin." And the Father is faithful and just and says, "Yes, it does." But it's not just that Jesus Christ is my advocate and pleads my case before the Father. He can strengthen me as my advocate. The Greek word for advocate is paraclete. And it means someone called to your side to assist you. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 4. I know we looked at this last week, but I want us to look at Hebrews 4 again because I really want it to sink deep into our hearts. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. The Bible says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest," or as John would say, an advocate, "who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to have a broken heart. He knows what it's like to go through the struggles of life. And it says we can come boldly to that throne, not only to find mercy for forgiveness, but grace to help in time of need. You can say, "Jesus Christ, I don't know if I can deal with this situation. I need you to work in me." And he will. God in Christ will work in you. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. "Now, by this we know that we know him." Oh yeah, I know God. I'm cool with the dude. But John says, "By this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a what? A liar. And the truth is not in him. John's pretty bold. Well, you know, he was a real old man at this time. You know how old people usually tend to speak their mind and not worry about it? That's John. Now, we know the Ten Commandments, right? Don't murder, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet. But what about the commandments in the New Testament? There are commandments in the New Testament? Yeah. Let's go back to Romans chapter 12, and I'll show you some. Romans chapter 12, and verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Each and every believer has a God-given gift or ability. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let's use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry. Ministry just means serving in any capacity whatsoever. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lacking in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the truth. Rejoicing in hope. Did you know that was a commandment? To rejoice in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who what? Weep. My dear friends, that's what a great life looks like. When you use your spiritual gift to love and serve others in the church, when you share of your financial resources, when you have somebody who's really done something wrong to you, but instead of retaliation, you show mercy with cheerfulness. Loving people, being kind and affectionate, rejoicing in the hope of the return of Jesus Christ, and yes, weeping with those people who weep. That's a life that makes a difference. Let me show you why. Let's go back to 1 John. Verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, when we keep the commandments, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this, we know that we are in him. When you keep God's commandments, you can be assured that you know God, and other people will know it too, because they will see the love of God through you. Let me read to you how the translation called The Message presents verse 5. Listen carefully. But the one who keeps God's word, he is the person in whom we see God's mature love. Sure, the goal of the commandment is love out of a pure heart. And so when we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep, when we're kindly affectionate one to another, when we love and serve and encourage and teach and give, the love of God matures in our lives. And the world so desperately, and I so desperately, and you so desperately need to be touched by this love of God. John says, there are people like the Gnostics. Remember, John's letter is correcting the wrong thinking of the Gnostics who were pulling Christians away, saying it doesn't matter how you live. It only matters if you know the secret wisdom. And John says, no, you know, don't give me this shuck and jive stuff about you know God. If you're not keeping his commandments, you're a liar. And when you do keep his commandments, the most wonderful thing in the world is that the love of God will be seen in what you're doing. What a wonderful thing. The men and women of the world don't want to hear God's word. They have no desire to think about God's word. They have no desire to obey God's word. They have no concept of what it means to love with the love of God. It means self-sacrifice. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. It's always thinking about others first is the beautiful love of God. You start seeing that in your life, and you can know that you know God. Isn't that a great thing to realize and come to understand? Verse 6, last verse. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. If Aerosmith were here, they would translate this. Walk this way, talk this way, just give me a kiss. But seriously, what it means is that if the life of God and Christ are in you, it should be seen. It should be seen in all that we say and all that we do. And the key to walking like Christ walked is dependence on God. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. I'm having fun today. That's because I'm confident about my football team winning later on. I'm not going to tell you which one it is because I said earlier, and John said, well, if your words don't come to pass, nobody will believe you're a prophet. So whichever team wins, I'll say, yes, that's the one. Verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to by miracles, wonders and signs, which he did because he had a super-powered battery pack. No, which God did through him. God did the work. Jesus totally depended upon his Father. Look at chapter 10 of Acts. And in verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. What's the last phrase say? For God was with him. Jesus in John 14 said, the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. God was always at work in the life of Jesus Christ, and that enabled him to live a beautiful, noble life of love and service. Jesus made a difference because God was with him. Remember what I said when I read Philippians? That if we think about those things that are in Scripture, and if we actually do those things that are in Scripture, the God of peace will be what? With us. Jesus went about doing good because God was with him. If you do these things, the God of peace will be with you. What a wonderful way to live. We've been brought up with the idea that we can do all of life on our own. We say to God, Father, please, I'd rather do it on my own. And then we get into trouble. Jesus always depended upon the Father, and the Father worked in his life. So let's look at that last verse again from John. Verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. When God begins to work in us, it'll revolutionize our lives. Really, when you allow God to work in you, it'll revolutionize your life. You'll never be the same again. And a day-by-day keeping of God's word will allow you to love people with the love of God. That's a life that has meaning and purpose. Before I close in prayer, we're going to do something new from now on, every now and then, and I think today would be a good day to start. Let's take a moment and just pray and talk to our Heavenly Father about what we've heard this morning and ask Him to work in our lives. Just a moment or two. Let's pray. Dear God, I ask that you work within us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Work within us. Help us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Help us to put on the new man and especially to live a life of love, to mature in your love. And I ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.